What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Foul Territory TV. Scott Braun with us right now. Scott, welcome to the show.
Nick and Spencer, happy Friday to you both, and I'm excited for All-Star Week coming up next week, although I know no Jose Ramirez now, but I'm excited because I'm not a Cleveland guy. I'm a National guy.
You doing Superman this weekend?
What's Superman?
Like the movie.
Oh, flying down there?
No, I mean, you're going to go see Superman.
I thought you were asking if I can actually fly and go down to Atlanta that way. No, I am not. I'm not a huge movie guy, and I'm definitely not a Superman guy. So, no, I'm not.
That's interesting. I do think of the baseball, like, guys like yourself, like the true baseball guys, that actually is the least amount of shared space of baseball guy and movie guy. Because anytime I try and talk movies with my baseball guys outside of my cabin boys, they kind of look at me like I'm missing a chromosome.
You know what? I think part of it has to do with how much content that we absorb on the baseball side, right? Like every night for a long period of time, I am dialed on 6 hours of baseball coverage, often while I'm doing work or whatever else. And then on the other side, for me, from a passion play perspective, I like going to concerts. I'm mostly into the electronic music, dance music world. I have friends that represent big DJs. So you just run out of time. I will catch, you know, a series on Netflix, Apple, et cetera. But actually getting to the theater, you guys don't even want to know the last time I got to one. It's been a minute.
Scott, we were just having the conversation about Stephen Kwan. We're within 2.5 years of free agency for him. And then we even had the conversation about, do you attempt to pay him if you're the Guardians? Steven said he's not taking a hometown discount. Does paying $25 million a year to a good contact hitting leadoff hitter, does that make sense for the Guardians?
Well, is that the comp? Is $25 million the comp? I haven't done a deep dive yet on the contract situation, because what I usually like to do, guys, is see where Kwan comps when he hits free agency at that age. I'm saying we can do it now. I just haven't gone through the exercise. Like, where is someone that's gotten paid that's in his weight class? And I know that he's a unique player. And keep in mind that contact hitters like Kwan, who does obviously have elite defense and base running skills, don't get paid if they don't have the same pop. I mean, the example that we should use right now is Luis Arraez. I love Luis Arraez. Can you have 9 Luis Arraezes in your lineup? Absolutely not. And also, Arraez is obviously not a big runner or defender like Stephen Kwan is. But to me, guys, one of the most critical components of a lineup is to have variety. And there are not many like Kwan, and there are not many like Arraez. So I probably like Kwan more than most. I mean, I'm not going to go number by number. I'm going to go by watching every single Guardians playoff game, as I'm sure you guys did. He was just different. Right? That time period where it doesn't matter who's up there, you're like, yeah, Kwan's going to make contact and maybe make something happen. To me, that's super valuable. So is he worth 25 a year? I'm not sure. I got to look through the comps. But I do think there's some happy medium where Cleveland can figure it out. The problem is this is one of the cheapest franchises in baseball. I know part of it has to do with the market and the revenue, but that's not the only reason. They can afford to keep a Stephen Kwan. Let's not kid ourselves here.
Along those lines, in what you referenced with the Guardians being one of the cheaper teams in terms of spending and not really investing in you know, the proven guys and always just kind of going to the next round of prospects as they try to build this roster. That this, like, the conversation about Kwan is going to start to sort of percolate. It's starting, I think, ahead of the trade deadline, but especially this upcoming offseason. If the Guardians kind of decide we're not going to pay him, do you think the time is not maybe now, but like this offseason, does that feel like it's the right time to actually move Kwan and get the most you can for him with 2 years still of control?
Yes, I think it would be in the offseason. I mean, sure, if the right opportunity pops up midseason and they really think that they're not going to keep him, I guess you can go down that route, but I think you still have a ton of value with 2 years. Once you get to 1 year, the control obviously really dictates what kind of return package you can get. And there are 5 to 7 teams that have done a really good job of not having to do a full-scale rebuild. And part of the reason why they're able to do that is because they trade assets when they do have 2 or 3 years of team control left. So you can make a case either way for either this trade deadline or coming up in the offseason for them to deal them away. Obviously, in the offseason, guys, you would open yourself up to more options. So if they get the right offer, there's a desperate team, they really think Kwan can make that kind of impact like we're talking about at the playoffs, then sure, I could see them doing it. I just disagree with the move because I think he's a core player. I think his skills will age well for a long period of time.
Scott Braun of Foul Territory TV and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline joining us right now. And I think there's been multiple reports that baseball is trying to push a salary cap as we head potentially towards the next work stoppage in baseball. And I think the economics of baseball are so incredibly and ridiculously unfair. Something has to be done, but I'll ask you, does a salary cap fix baseball?
No, it doesn't, and it's not going to happen, so it's a waste of time. It's been a hot topic, obviously, on our show for a long period of time. We're very unfiltered. We bring all kinds of different people on, including, I think it caught a lot of attention in the past few days because we brought on Bruce Meyer, who's the lead negotiator who goes up against MLB on the Players Association side. I highly encourage everyone to check that out. He rarely does interviews. So there's been many articles written about it. The podcast and or the YouTube clip is up there for you on Foul Territory. Guys, for me, it gets complicated because we want as fans versus what players and ownership are going to agree to. There's a hard stance from the player side that they're not going to agree to a salary cap. There is a soft salary cap right now. That's what I call it in my slang terms, because teams do get punished for going over the collective or over the luxury tax number. And it might not seem that way, but most teams actually use that as their salary cap. There's a few teams that really push through everything else, right? But there are only a few teams a year that go past that number. So it does serve as a soft salary cap. Let me ask you guys a question. Why don't we have a soft floor? Why doesn't that exist right now when revenue share money is flowing and it doesn't get spent in the right direction? I'll give you an example, okay? The Pittsburgh Pirates are pretty popular, close enough to Cleveland, right, where we can make fun of them, close enough in revenue, and even distance-wise, you can pop over to one of the nicest ballparks in the country, and you would see a team that perennially is awful because their owner has no idea how to run a franchise, and he gets a ton of revenue-sharing money, and they do not have to spend it on players. So, for example, someone like Bob Nutting is going to take that money, he'll spend it on boosting a facility, which improves real estate value of his franchise in a way that winning doesn't guarantee, right? Or in a way that spending on player payroll doesn't guarantee. And so he looks at this as like a long-term asset. It's crap, but that's the problem we're dealing with. So guys, we have to try and find a solution. Are we going to get a soft floor? Of course not, because the owners are going to say, well, then we need a hard cap. To me, the problem that I think we have, and sure, call me biased, is that often one side is fighting for something that has to do with competition and making the game better, and the other side's just fighting for money and for leverage as lawyers. That's really how I see it. I mean, I study this stuff to a T. I talk to many people behind the scenes. I've worked on one side of the spectrum, and now I'm independent. So I truly feel as if there's a broken system, and it is being caused by the league and the ownership side. The league is able to do revenue sharing, and it would get approved by the player side. The league, you guys think it's unfair? cool, I'm with you. Like, let's give even more money to some of the lower market teams, but let's force them to spend it on players. They're not forced to spend it on players right now. Why is that the case? Does anyone, can anyone answer that? If a team gets tens of millions of dollars, why do they not have to spend it on player personnel? Because they say, oh, we can spend it on other things that will help our team. Okay, well, is that working for most of those teams? No, that's the problem.
So along those lines, and I think you alluded to some of this with you know, what you just mentioned in regards to the revenue sharing and where it's spent and those types of things. What is, if a cap isn't going to be instituted because the players will never agree and a floor will never be instituted? Because I've always heard those are the two points of contention. Like, if one agrees to the other, then they'll both sort of be simpatico, but it's never going to happen. So what is the solution? How do we fix the finances of baseball if those two things are just never going to actually be produced in any of these negotiations that come?
I just told you. So more revenue sharing, right? So more from the top to the bottom, but they have to be forced to spend it. That's not happening right now. That's the biggest problem in baseball right now, as far as parity in an off season, right? I think we're looking way too much at the top few teams and how they spend, and way too little at not just the middle. I mean, not just the lower end of the spectrum, but even the middle, right? Like there's so much complacency every single off season. And you would think the way that we're talking that the sport is in dire straits, but then you'll get press release after press release about how much money the sport's making and how many billions of dollars are being spent. So what are we doing? Which part am I supposed to believe? That's why, to me, guys, I just don't think the salary cap accomplishes that much. You know, it's really just getting the smaller market teams and the teams that aren't making as much to spend the money in the right direction. We can't see the finances, so that's what sucks. And I'm sure some people are probably listening to this like, oh, you're just favoring the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees. No, I'm not. I just know that there are teams that can spend more in the offseason and they never do that. So to me, yeah, the answer is you force the bigger market teams to give more of the pot to the smaller market teams. I think they would do that, but they would force them to spend it on player payroll. And there's too many owners that would vote against that right now. They're so one-track mind on this salary cap, and I'm telling you guys, it's not going to happen. So if they really want to push to that extent, there will be a lockout. When I say lockout, there's definitely going to be a lockout. I'm just saying if they want to push to the extent of salary cap or bust, there'll be a lockout with missing games. Right now, I generally think that we get a lockout. It lasts the whole offseason. Each side gives in a little. It doesn't accomplish anything, and we're back to the same situation as usual.
Scott, we asked you about Stephen Kwan. Emmanuel Clase has been a huge name out there on the market. If the Guardians do decide to move on from Clase because it's time to rebuild the farm system or whatever the decision, what do you think are the teams that might be most willing to give top dollar in a trade for Emmanuel?
Guys, I think almost any contender in baseball would go after Emmanuel Clase because he's not expensive with his contract. You have multiple years of control, and relief pitching at that level, the high leverage relief pitching that Emmanuel Clase can bring to the table is going to be super, super highly coveted. There's only one to three guys of that ilk that are usually available at the trade deadline. So, I mean, you can basically go down the line of who would be interested. You know, it's probably about 12 to 14 teams that think they have a shot of making it to the World Series. So Tigers and Mets and Phillies and Dodgers and Yankees, I think all of those teams would be interested in someone like Emmanuel Clase. And if the Guardians feel like this is the time to do it, I'm okay with that. I mean, this is probably the year where they're taking a step back and they're going to unload someone like that. That team was so fun to watch last year, but it was one of the best bullpens in terms of performance and results that I've ever seen in my lifetime, 30 some odd years watching baseball. So yeah, I think, I mean, we could go down the line, but almost any of those teams, then we start to match up what the prospects look like. That might eliminate a few clubs that don't have what it takes to match up. But even still, guys, I think almost any team, if they look at their top 3 to 5 prospects, would be able to come up with one or two names that would satisfy a trade like this.
So you'd even trade them to Detroit in the division?
Well, that's less likely. You ask me who would want him, who would get him. That's less likely. Would they trade him to Detroit? No, we could start to. I mean, they would, but you can play that elimination game a little bit more. We just had an Orioles Rays trade yesterday, and it might help the Rays win a playoff series. Brian Baker's been quietly one of the better relievers in baseball this year, and the Orioles were so tempted by a draft pick that they decided to give him up to Tampa Bay in the division.
Scott, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate what you do with Foul Territory TV, and we'll catch you down the line.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk. Have a good weekend.
You too, bud. Scott Braun there, Foul Territory TV on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about your Guardians and get back to some unfavorable rankings on 92.3 The Fan. Even $20 million. And it just comes back to, because I thought there was a great line here. A Good Beast, which is a real name. Or it's their Twitter handle, saying, "We beg the Dolans to pay players, but we're showing hesitation to pay the 300 hitter, and 300, Golden Glove All-Star, Mr. Stephen Kwan." You can do both things. You can say that the Dolans need to spend more money and pay more players, because we're getting to a point where they wouldn't pay Austin Hayes 1 year, $6 million, and you needed professional hitters. And also look at this and go, if we're going to pay certain free agents, we got to make sure whichever ones we pay are ones that are absolute no-brainers, have immense value, and are guys that are going to give you full value across that entire time. If Stephen Kwan becomes a 275 hitter, like, think back to his stats his second year that he wasn't hitting 275. But if you look at like weighted runs created, good Lord, WRC plus, he was like league average his second year in the bigs. If that's who he is, he's not worth $20 million a year. Who he is last year, the year before his rookie year, he's kind of worth it.
I think the thing that Scott said that maybe is one of the biggest reasons why I think you pay him is he had the comment about, I think he ages well. Like, I think his skill set, what he brings to the table, how he plays, his style, what he does at the plate, that ages well. I think that's the key thing is, like, if you're investing in somebody like Kwan long term, you want to know that it's going to be worth it. I'm just spitballing here. Like, if it's a 10-year deal, I don't know if the Guardians would actually hand out a 10-year deal because, Jose's was 7. But if it was a 10-year deal, like, you want to know, like, in years 7, 8, 9, 10, there's still some value in paying him upwards of, let's just say, $20 million a year, like you sort of have estimated. So, I think that's a really valid point.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I think, too, like, Scott made it sound like he didn't know off the top of his head, and I'm not going to pretend to know off the top of my head, like, comparable contracts. But, like, if it's like you threw out 25 and I kind of understood it, like, yeah, I mean, I get like where you'd give that to a better, maybe a better player. But if it's going to be less than 25, like, 20 million sounds like it could make some sense. And I think that would be fair. And I would imagine the Guardians should be able to afford something like that, but maybe they can't because they are a cheaper organization. I also think, too, you brought up, like, there's nobody to drive them in. If the Guardians' grand plan, which we've both debated back and forth already a ton at this point, is that you have the cornerstone guys, your Jose Ramirez and maybe your Stephen Kwan, and you're waiting for these prospects that you are hoping are going to turn into something, and maybe Chase DeLauder is one of them, for example. If your grand plan is we get a guy like Chase DeLauder up here, he becomes a middle-of-the-order guy, he provides some protection to somebody like Jose Ramirez, okay, now all of a sudden you have more bats in this lineup that are going to drive him in. Like, at some point, I understand what you're saying, where it's like, right now, what's the point of Steven Kwan's bat in the lineup if there's nobody to drive him in? But in a year from now, 2 years from now, if these prospects that they keep trying to sell us on are up and they're producing and they're there and that's their grand plan for being good again, that will be a valuable asset for this team to have if they have the right people to drive in Steven Kwan.
I just think, I don't know how much I value leadoff hitters on a small market club. Like in a Luis Arias, which I thought Scott did a great job of comparing to there. Like Luis, all right, that's like a legitimate elite level leadoff hitter. And by the way, I don't think he's the same player as Kwan is, because Kwan is an elite defender as well. But like Luis on the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Rangers, well, that just makes sense to me, because $20 million for that is it's nothing really compared to all the other money you're making. And I think Kwan will probably get 5 to 6 years, probably about $20 million a year, 20 to 25. I think 25 is ambitious, but because it's just not the same thing as in Cleveland or in Tampa or Milwaukee, paying a guy that much money when that is often one quarter of your, and you already have Hosey making 25 a year as well.
Yeah. I disagree with another thing you said of like, you know,
are you sure? Because I said it.
I know it's hard to believe. Where you say like, you know, Kwan. I'm trying to go back to what you said. You were saying that Kwan
is so good.
You were saying that Kwan is a leadoff guy. I know what it was. The small market thing.
Where we finally got there.
Where it's like his skill set isn't necessary in like a small. I disagree with that. Because I think if you're a small market team trying to win in this sport, I think you know that you're never going to be able to outslug the Yankees, right? Like the Yankees have the money to afford those guys. Those guys are always, the sluggers in this league are always going to get the big, massive contracts that a team like the Guardians cannot afford. I think back to a couple years ago, one of Terry Francona's last years with the club. They made the playoffs that year. They took the Yankees to the brink, and they did it by having like this, you know, a team that was producing runs and not in the way where it's like you're just clobbering the ball and trying to hit it out. Now, you fell short, and oftentimes the teams that try to do that do fall short. But I actually think like Kwan is the perfect type of player for a small market team that is always trying to win in the margins and is never going to be able to afford those big time bats, because that is how I think
you're
talking
about free agency, which is fair, and you're talking about the second contract. Would you rather have three separate power hitters that cover 9 years that are affordable players? Or would you rather?
But those guys aren't affordable. Power hitters rookies, are worth a damn, though.
But we're talking about on their rookie contracts. Would you have three of those in a row? So three separate ones, each giving you 3 years of service. Or would you rather one leadoff hitter, elite contact hitter, left fielder for that whole 9 years, making $20 million a year?
I guess I'm trying to understand with your scenario here, like where are these power hitters that are more affordable are coming from? Well, you're saying like they're going to sign free agents?
No. I'm talking about drafting like, and developing those players.
You're saying like they like, okay, so you're saying like 3 straight years of like, or 9 years of like a Chase DeLauder. Like Chase DeLauder is maybe the next three. And then after that, there's Chase DeLauder 2.0. And then there's you're saying like three different versions of Chase DeLauder come up. That and maybe one of those guys you got in a trade for Kwan. That's what you're sort of suggesting here?
Well, no, what I'm saying is I would rather have a consistent flow, a consistent pipeline of power hitters, and figure that out. Figure out why you can't draft and develop these guys.
Why
or
can't you draft and develop
them.
Those guys while you have Kwan?
Well, no, you can, but it's about asset management. If I'm figuring things out, like I would rather go that power, or honestly, how about this? Would you rather a 5-year, $100 million, $125 million for Steven Kwan, or 4 years, $100 million of a guy like Anthony Santander? I know Anthony's not having a good year this year, but what would you rather have? A 5-hitter with 30 home run power who you might still be overpaying a little bit, or a leadoff hitter that you're probably also overpaying a little bit and it has zero power?
Well, I also think the other thing to think about here too is like where they are in the timeline of Jose Ramirez's contract. Because if you pay Steven Kwan, and I just looked this up, Jose, he has kind of like a gradual increase on his contract after every year. So like this year he's making $19 million. Next year he makes 21. The year after that he's 23. His final year when he's 35, he's making 25, right? But that's only like, I mean, 2028 is only 3 years away. Like, if you pick Kwan, and you wouldn't have to pay him for two more seasons, by the way, you could get away with like next year you figure out the arbitration situation, he's back, then he has the final year of arbitration in 2027, and then that's where you're talking about actually paying him with a big contract. Like, by the time this all adds up, Jose's contract's going to be coming off the books soon. So now you can afford to pay a Stephen Kwan like $20 million a year. And then those bats that you're talking about, maybe Chase DeLauder's the next great thing. Well, he's not going to be due for that contract yet. And then you can reinvest the Jose Ramirez money in somebody like that. So that's my point, is like the timing on it, I think, would make sense where you could figure it out and pay Stephen Kwan. And then, because I get the scenario you're saying, but do we have any faith that the Guardians are going to, they're not paying any of these. They're not giving Chase DeLauder a contract yet.
Well, that's
right?
Also why they're not giving Stephen Kwan a contract.
I'm just saying, like,
I understand the exercise.
But I'm just saying, and it's not like we expect them to go out and sign in free agency like one of the top five big bats that are going to be out there to like help supplement the roster. Like, they're not doing that next offseason either.
Well, no.
So you might as well put the money into a guy that's here, and then understand like, at some point, maybe the timing works out where then you pay the next guy that you think.
But in Cleveland, $25 million worth? Is that $25 million worth a young starter in his arbitration years, plus probably a decent reliever, not a great reliever, but a decent reliever, and then maybe a third player? Because $25 million in this town with that organization is about three players. Sometimes four players, sometimes five players. I think that's the problem.
Right, but I'm saying
I already can't get them to pay $6 million for an outfielder in a bounce back season. You put Kwan into this. And again, I wish this was different. I wish this was a no brainer. But honestly, guys, even if we were even if we were still at the point where they were spending $120 million a year, all right, you paid Hosey. If I'm going to pay somebody else, it's either a young a pitcher like they've done with Kluber where you get that sweetheart deal, or like a Jimenez Jimenez was a legit more to like speed, defense. He did hit for power and average that 1 year. Like, that's four of the five tools there.
Right.
At second base,
I understand
short.
What you're saying. My point is the timing of it, because I get what you're saying. Like, hey, if they're giving Stephen Kwan $20 million, can't they invest that somewhere else? But my thing is, you don't have to pay him right now. And by the time it'd be basically like a 1 year overlap where you have Jose under contract and you have Stephen Kwan under contract for bigger money. And then it's like, okay, you only really have to worry about 1 year where they're like, well, hey, we could use this $20 million elsewhere. But once Jose's contract's off the books, unless they, I guess, re-sign him for upwards of that amount again, but I don't know that they're going to do that after he's 35. We'll see. Then you have to worry about like where you're investing that money. But I don't think it's going to be a problem right now.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys on this. Would you pay Stephen Kwan $20 to $25 million a year? I do understand that this flies into a very this is a tough spot for Guardians fans, because you're always going to say yes, because we never get these guys. So I just look at this from a specifically Stephen Kwan point. And Mike on Twitter saying, if Stephen Kwan passes every eyeball test, I can't stomach them letting this guy go. $25 million a year will quickly become a bargain. He's a five-tool player. On that last one, he's not. He hits for average, check. Power, absolutely not. His career high is 14, and that is a career high to this point. So he's got average, but not power. Speed, he's not a base stealer. So he doesn't take advantage of the speed.
21 a couple years ago, that was the
Yeah, that's not speed. Fine, but it's not speed. Fielding, yeah, he's an elite left fielder. If you put him in center field, he doesn't have the arm for center field. So I'll give him a half star for that, because it's positional value. But then the fifth one is throwing arm, and the reason he's not in center field is his arm. So he's a 2.5-star player. And by the way, it's worth 3 to 4 and sometimes 5 WAR a year.
How many stars?
That's a really good ball player, but I just don't know that's worth $25 million a year.
Are you a 5-star radio host, would you say?
Well, I'm fat. That's 1 star. I'm loud.
Is that a requirement for being
I'm
a radio
loud.
Host?
That's a 2nd star.
Being fat? Is that why I'm not 5 stars?
Some people
I'm not fat yet.
Occasionally laugh at my jokes, so that's a 3rd star. I know things. Not a lot of things, but some things. That's a 4th star. And then I, like Baskin and Phelps, will jump at every opportunity for free food. fifth star.
that's definitely a requirement for any
Williams. I mean, listen, we never said what the stars had to represent, right? What about quality? That's for damn sure. In case you missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.